Hi, I'm Terrell Turner, the host of the Law Firm and Finance Show, and today I have a great guest on. Now, one of the things that you usually hear is that, you know, this lawyer has a unique background, or maybe this person didn't go the typical route of a law firm. And I will say, with today's guest, that is very, very true. Not your typical legal or law firm background, but one of the things that I really do love about this guest is the way that he's used his legal studies and his various backgrounds to build an impactful business and to show up in the legal industry in a unique way. So stay tuned for our guest, Lee Phillips. So without further ado, let me bring on our guests. Lee, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, before we hopped on to hit record, you know, we talked a little bit. And one of the things you mentioned was about the rain and the snow in your area. So can you tell our guests, where are you today?
Well, I'm in Provo, Orem, Utah, and we're getting much needed rain. Utah's the second driest state in the union. So we love the rain, and we even got a little snow in the mountains last night. It was cool enough.
Nice. You know, that's an interesting thing, because I would say is, you know, and in no way do I consider myself like to be the best in geography, but I would not have guessed that Utah would be the second driest in the nation.
Yeah, we're, I think Nevada's the first one, or Nevada or Arizona. I think Nevada, actually. I don't know. But they always brag that we're this, or cry that we're the second driest. So we need the water.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Awesome. Awesome. Well, it's definitely a pleasure to have you on. And as I said, you know, you and I, we talked a little bit before we got started, but, you know, for the people that aren't familiar with, you know, who you are, can you share a little bit about your background and how you went into the study of law and kind of what you're up to now?
Well, I never really wanted to be a lawyer. My wife and I got married at 19, and we both ended up becoming lawyers, and that was the furthest thing from our mind when we were younger. But I got a bachelor's in geology and physics and a master's in nuclear chemistry, and I really wanted to run a law, or chemistry laboratory. And I thought, well, you know, I can spend another 4 years and get a PhD, or I can go to law school and get a law degree, and that'll help me run the business. And one of the nice things about the law degree is it's basically a ticket. You can do all kinds of things with a law degree. Actually, I think it's well under 50% of the lawyers that graduate from law school actually, I'm going to say, practice law. You can be principal at the high school. You can do all kinds of things. And the law degree gives you the ability to interact with the professional, with the business structure of whatever it is you're working with. So the law degree is really broad. And I got my law degree, and shortly thereafter, I got sick, really sick. As a 27-year-old, I spent 6 months in intensive care and didn't work for 3 years. And particularly at the beginning of your professional career, that submarines you. You are now unemployable. I had a year's life expectancy for a decade. That's all the doctors had given me, that I wasn't going to live. I tricked them, though. But but I wasn't going to live, and so nobody will hire you. And I had to basically hang out a shingle. The easiest thing to do is wills and trusts. Uncle Harry needs one. Aunt Gertie needs one. And so I started to study wills and trusts. And I actually had a classmate who came to me and said, look, I'll help you. She was actually general counsel for one of the major universities in the United States. And she said, I'll help you. We'll figure out how to do wills and trusts. And it was frustrating for us because we'd read the form books and we'd study the stuff. And being a scientist, I like to ask the question, why? And it's not there. I've never worked for a firm. And so maybe I'm not a good guess for you. I don't know, Terrell, but I've never worked for the classic firm. I had to create my own work. And it was frustrating because the firm teaches you the practice. You don't learn the practice in law school. You go to, you get your job at the firm and you learn the ropes, so to speak, at the firm. Well, if you don't have a firm, it's hard to learn. And as a result, I know a lot of things about estate planning that most estate planning attorneys don't know, because I've always asked the question, why? Why is that paragraph in the trust? And a lot of attorneys can't tell you. And I was in a big CLE a while back, and I asked a question, and there was just crickets, dead silence. And yet this is something that I run into all the time. The couple gets the AB trust. They don't do the split when the first trust or first spouse dies. And we're now 5 years down the road. What do we do? And I've got the way I handle it, but nobody knew. Come on, you guys, you handle these questions all the time. I'm sure you've seen an AB split trust where they didn't actually do the split when the first spouse dies. Okay, how do you clean it up 5 years later? Mm-hmm. So those types of things, they just kind of aren't there in the vernacular. And this lady who helped me, the classmate, we kind of struggled figuring out why and how, and not just using the form, but wanting to understand it. And as I got into it, I figured out that a lot of lawyers were setting up the trust for their client, but then they wouldn't teach them how to use it. And the trust is a probate avoidance tool. And if you don't fund the trust, if you don't understand that the next time you open a bank account, it has to be in the name of the trust. The next time you buy a piece of property, you have to buy it in the name of the trust. They don't understand this concept of why the trust avoids probate, so they don't use it right. And the lawyer ends up getting the big fee for writing the trust. And then when the guy dies, nobody avoids probate, so they get the probate fee too.
Wow.
And so I started to teach classes on how to use trusts. The guy next door owned the H&R Block, and he'd put out a little sign, said there was going to be a trust seminar. And so I try to get clients, and I try and teach people about this. And then I started to write about it. And basically, I've ended up creating a whole series of do-it-yourself kits, how to do your own will and trusts. And frankly, and maybe it's a bad statement, but I think I can have somebody use what I give them, create their own will trust or their LLC, and do a better job than half the lawyers out there. Wow. So I haven't gone the traditional route. You're right.
You know, I think that is very interesting because, you know, I was having a conversation with a few other accounting and CFOs at a conference we were at recently. And one of the things that we talked about, something similar to that, is just like how working in the bigger kind of accounting firms, sometimes you're shielded from learning some of the intricacies behind the work that you do. So I imagine that's given you an advantage of having to go through that struggle of, you know what, you know what your clients are going through and you know what some of the gaps are.
Well, in a way, it has given me that advantage, and it's forced me to learn what I had to in order to do it. But it's not there. The answers aren't easy. And in the big accounting firm or in the big law firm, I call them tools. A lawyer has tools. They have the corporation and the LLC and stuff. And the LLC, okay, we're using it for an asset protection tool. But there's also an entire aspect to the LLC on taxes. And what the lawyer never explains, what the accountant, frankly, never explains to the client is your LLC, your little business, is your most important tax shelter. How do we use it as a tax shelter? And I run into people all the time. They've got the LLC, the lawyer set it up for them. How is it taxed? I don't know. Well, look, guys, The IRS is your biggest asset protection threat, I've come to realize. Don't you think you ought to know what your LLC is taxed as and why you're losing all this money? So one law firm will use the tool for a tax reason, and another law firm will use the tool for a asset protection reason. And the client's really confused because they go to one attorney, they get one story. He's using it for this purpose. They go to another attorney, they get another story. Well, the firm's taught him how to use it for this purpose. And sometimes they're not compatible. I use it for this purpose, I lose value in asset protection if I use it for taxes. The client goes to the accountant. He gets a whole nother story from the accountant. And so the clients are really confused. And I've tried to take these different aspects, these different ways of using the tool, and I've tried to teach people how you can use a hammer. Does the hammer drive nails in or pull nails out? Well, it depends upon how you want to use it. So I've tried to teach people that you can use the LLC for the taxes. You can use it for the asset protection, both the corporate shield and the charging order protection. Most people who have an LLC have no idea what the concept of charging orders is. And yet it's a very powerful concept in asset protection for an LLC. So the attorneys, they don't have time, but they need to prepare something. They need to do something to educate their client on how to actually use the trust when they give them the trust, how to use the LLC as a tax shelter. So that's kind of what I've done, is I've prepared all these educational materials over the years.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's very interesting. And I'm curious, you know, as you're, you know, working with clients and, like I said, you're walking them through some of these trade-offs, like, you know, what's some of the things that they say when they reach kind of like that aha moment? Because I don't hear too many tax accountants, too many lawyers really taking the time kind of explaining like some of those trade-offs that you just mentioned. So what's some of the responses that you usually get from clients when you kind of help them start to unpack that and understand it?
Well, I'm going to say I don't always see the aha moment, because I prepare the educational materials and I give it to them. I get a lot of feedback on it that the client loves it. They can finally understand it. I've got a book out, and on the back of the book, I've got a vice president the testimonial of a vice president from maybe the largest insurance company in the United States. And he says, "I have studied this all my life. I finally understand it."
Wow.
And that's what you're up against, is even the people who know what it is, they don't have the ability to go in and explain it to the client. A lawyer goes to school for an extra 3 years to learn how to speak and write so the public can't understand them. And it's true, Terrell. It's absolutely true. But we shouldn't do lawyer jokes here, should we?
No, it is perfectly fine. Like, I've had plenty of guests that have made lawyer jokes, and I tell them I'm a CPA, so I'm like, I'm used to.
Do you know how many lawyer jokes there are out there, Terrell?
I am not sure.
There are only three. All the rest of them are true. And anyway, I'll tell you my favorite one, but we'll tell you off air, okay?
No, I love it. I mean, you know, there's something that you mentioned about with the trust, where, you know, a lot of times, you know, lawyers will help clients set up the trust, but won't actually take the time to help them understand, you know, how to actually use it. So the whole point of setting up the trust, they never actually realize the benefit when it's time to use it. So, you know, is that one of the things that you put in the educational material or in your book about, you know, ways people can actually utilize the trust?
Absolutely. I teach them why the trust avoids probate. Once they understand that, then they understand that it has to be funded, that it has to own the assets in its name. Because if the assets in your name when you die, it's going to be probated. So I teach them how to do it. And once people understand, they can do it pretty good. They're not stupid, but nobody ever tells them. And particularly if you understand why something happens, then I believe that you will understand, okay, it really does need to be done. This is what I'm doing. This is what I'm accomplishing by putting the asset in the name of the trust. So that type of thing is what I've done. And I have little eBooks out on how to use a trust and how to use an LLC and taxation of an LLC and taxation of real estate and all of this sort of stuff. So that's kind of where I've spent my time. And I've sold the educational materials and made a good living, a better living than I could have done as the standard lawyer downtown. Mm-hmm. So it's done well for me. And in a way, I turned the lemons into lemonade.
Awesome. I love that. I mean, and I'm curious, you know, from your perspective, because like you said, it's not a traditional route that lawyers go from, you know, hey, I'll be the lawyer of you come to me for the answer and saying, hey, you know what? What if I just create this in a do-it-yourself kind of manner? Like, you know, how was it for you kind of coming to that conclusion of, you know what? Instead of just having everybody come to me all the time, I'm going to create some resources that they can do on their own. Like how, what kind of things did you think about to come to that conclusion and say, hey, you know, this is the route I want to approach it?
Well, I kind of alluded to the fact that I figured out that the people were getting they get the corporation. And the fact of the matter is the vast majority of small corporate entities, if they actually do get sued, the corporate shield fails because nobody ever taught them that the argument in court is, did you treat this as a real company or is this your alter ego? And we go through these formalities, and I can explain the formalities that show the court, no, we really did. We intended this to be a real corporation. We treated it as arm's length. It's the real deal. It's not just our alter ego. And the vast majority of small corporations do not survive the lawsuit. And the vast majority of companies, LLCs, corporations, do not survive the death of the founder. And a big part of that is the corporation or the LLC, the trust isn't the owner, isn't the stockholder of the corporation or the member of the LLC. So the company gets caught into a probate proceeding and it's a year and a half before it comes out. And under the court supervision, they didn't have full control over it. It didn't work right. And they've lost the company. I actually tried to help a neighbor who died very unexpectedly. He was a pediatrician. And by the time the family got the court clearance to sell the practice to another pediatrician, it had been months and all of the clients had gone bye-bye.
Wow.
So these are the problems that people face, and it's something, it's a hole in the legal system that the lawyers, and I'll give it to them, at the rate the lawyers are charging, they don't have time to explain all this stuff to the people. But the people have got to know it, or the corporation doesn't do them any good when they actually do get sued.
Wow. Wow. That is important to know. So, you know, for everyone that's interested in checking out, you know, the resources, the educational material you have out, where is the best place for them to find it?
Well, they can find a general smattering of it on YouTube, but my YouTube channel is Legalese, L-E-G-A-L-E-E-S. It's a pun on my name, okay? And I did that in 10 or 15 years into it. I thought, oh, that's kind of corny. I need to change that. And then I figured out it actually had a lot of goodwill. So I kept it.
Nice. Awesome. Now, if they wanted to purchase some of the educational resources, where's a good place for them to find that online?
Legalese.com has a lot of it out. I mean, we're talking to lawyers, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think the lawyers are going to want to purchase it, although I've had a lot of lawyers purchase my trust kit and learn to use use it and actually use it for clients. So mm-hmm. they do that sort of stuff, but they might want to look at how to use a trust. They might want to look at what I call the LLC mini course. And these are courses where I teach people how to use the trust or how to use the LLC. And I go through the corporate shield protection of the LLC, the charging order protection of the LLC, the taxation of the LLC, so that if you create an LLC for a client, give them this and hope that they read it, and then maybe they'll understand what the LLC is and how they get the benefit out of it.
Awesome. I love it. I love it. Well, before we wrap up, one of the questions I always love asking every guest, because you know, we've had a very, very good and insightful conversation. So when you think about, you know, two big takeaways from our conversation, if you were talking to someone saying, hey, I was on the Law Firm and Finance Show with Terrell, and you should go back and listen to my interview with him, and here are two big takeaways you should take from that conversation, what would your two big takeaways be?
It was a total waste of time. Skip it. No. I guess for the lawyers, the takeaway would be you can do lots of things with a law degree. And the other takeaway would be, instead of just doing the trust or the corporation or the LLC or whatever it is for the client, you've got to figure some way to get them educated on how to use that. Because the client takes the document, sticks it in their file cabinet, forgets about it. But the trust and the LLC and the corporation are tools that you have to use in your business, and the client has to use them. So somehow we got to teach them how to do it. And the takeaway message would be, we got to figure this one out.
Got it. I love it. Well, Lee, thank you so much for coming on and being an amazing guest. It was a pleasure having you.
Good to be with you. Thank you.